everybody, and welcome to the Dicelle Show podcast, Meet Friends, where we are making stuff up, being real, and talking about it. Coming up today, we have the Living Room Comedy Show featuring Kate Lure, Cooking with Marty, a comedy sketch from the Dicelle Show players, and original stories and funny bits from Dicelle and Billy Wright. Let us say our quick hellos to our guests today. I am, of course, Dicelle Nett, and we also have with us today Billy Wright.
Hello, Dicelle.
Hello, Billy.
It's so nice to see you.
It's nice to see you. Oh, thank you, as do you.
Oh, thank you. Very lovely.
We also have with us Kate Lure.
Hello.
Hi, Kate. You look very pretty today.
Thank you, Dicelle, as do you.
Oh, thank you. This is just the compliment corner.
We're all so pretty.
We're also pretty and happy. We also have with us Jonah Thomases. Hello, nice to be here. Nice to have you here too, Jonah.
Oh, you look good too, Jonah.
She looks the prettiest.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
No, you do. I was going to say,
I think the two of you look the prettiest.
Guys, we're just all so pretty.
Let us not fight about it. And in the kitchen, we have Marty Yu. Is Marty mic'd up yet to say hello? Almost.
Well, Marty looks pretty too.
Hold on. Hello.
Are you on, Marty?
I don't know. You tell me.
Oh, yes, I can hear you.
I can hear you.
That's great. Marty's in the kitchen. He's going to be preparing for us some snacks throughout the show today for the segment Cooking with Marty.
Wiping off food with Marty.
He has started. That's great. You know, listen, I was thinking, so what I'm going to do now, just to let you know, is the little monologue at the top of the show where I talk about something that's important to me.
Okay.
And hopefully funny. But this is what I was thinking about. Do you know when you have that feeling when you're laughing at somebody, with somebody. You're laughing with somebody together at a joke you just made together or saw or something in the moment. And you're looking in each other's eyes, laughing together. Don't it feel like you can see their soul? Like all the walls are down and it's just your two souls laughing together. I notice that when I laugh with people, I feel so connected to them. For that moment, like all of our differences of religion or race or beliefs or politics or clothing choices, that all go from the window and we're just laughing together and our eyes are open right to our souls. I love that feeling. So I was thinking maybe laughter is, okay, here's where it gets a little weird. Maybe laughter is God. Or that's the if you don't believe in God, that's fine. I kind of am on the fence about the whole thing. But if you say the higher power or what connects us or however you want to think about that kind of thing, maybe that comes to us through laughter, because that's when all our differences go away and we just can be together. And when we be together in laughter and in creativity like that, I think we are expressing the thing that is bigger than us. We are expressing God's love, or we are expressing our connection. So it's a really beautiful thing, and it's available to us right now and always, this connection with everybody. I know
that you have to make them laugh. What happened?
Or you can find the laughter between you by listening, by being together, being non-judgmental, finding points of connection. And I know the world is more complicated than how I'm making it, you know, sound, because there's politics and everything in the Middle East, very complicated. And then some guy online was saying, well, this all started from 1916 when England did this to Iran and this sort of thing. And that's how now we have ISIS. Okay, I don't know about any of that. That is beyond my skill set to know about all these deep politic things. But all I know is when I meet a person, We could have very big differences. But if we can just find a point of connection, like, hey, look at that bird. He just took a poo on a car. And it was kind of funny, you know. We say, oh, that bird took a poo. We can laugh at that. Then we have a connection, and it brings us back to what is the same about us rather than what is different about us.
Okay, rant over.
United in our love of bird poo.
I guess if I'm going to be trying to laugh with a Tea Party Republican and look at them in the eyes and see what
I can't
does.
Look them in
no,
the eyes.
No, but seriously, when you were saying done. That, no, about all that laugh, thinking of, that is actually really, really beautiful. And I hadn't ever really thought of that before, but it seriously, thinking about laughing and looking at somebody's eyes makes me want to cry.
Yeah.
So, it I mean, do. It's funny, it's but it's also thing. Really like... It is.
It's a much better God than the ones people fight about, certainly.
Oh, my God.
I'll right. go with that one.
The yes. laughing God is God. That is going to be, that is God to me, Giselle.
I feel it. And I feel, this is what I was thinking about. I think what little I know of the three major religions and the many smaller, less popular religions, what very little I know, each of them seem to have rules and suggestions for how to be a good person, mm-hmm. and what it means to be a good person and to be of service and to be helpful and to be loving and to live well your life in the world. So it seemed to me that's something we all have in common. We want to live a good life and be a good person. The different religions, I think, I'm starting to think, just have different stories attached to how to get to being a good person. Everybody have a slightly different story. This story say, okay, you have to follow these 10 rules. This one say you have to follow these rules. This one say you can't eat bread on Friday, but you can eat fish on Sunday and no meatballs on Thursday, whatever it is. All the rules. But if we concentrate on the bigger picture, what we all want, a life of feeling connected, feeling worthwhile, feeling like we make a difference, feeling love and giving love. That's what we have in common. The rules mm-hmm. that we listen to is slightly different. So maybe we can hold a little lighter to the importance of our specific rules and realize that all the different ones have different rules, but we're all wanting the same thing. Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, just the way you were saying that, I was just thinking if we could force one of those people that are those right wing radical people to have a Muslim come into their house and then watch bird shit or something. Look into each other's eyes. And maybe that would just change
into
the
each
world.
Other's eyes and watch birds poop. That is, guys, that's a show. That's some reality
wait,
TV
I've already
right
got a cuss
there.
Word.
Yeah.
That's
one.
Ding.
ding.
We don't have a taboo on cuss words. You can go to
well,
town.
No, we were talking about this before the show.
That's right. We was talking about it, but I don't mind. Marty have just Marty. Come in with his first dish. What is it, Marty?
Giselle requested popcorn and tomato. And so that popcorn with powdered tomato on it.
Wow.
And a little bit of, little bit of powdered
it's
cheese.
It's really good.
Well, yeah. Marty.
Got a little bit burnt. I'm not used to your stove.
Oh, that's...
I love it.
Oh, you get buy tomato. They sell dehydrated tomato powder.
Wow, Marty, yeah. This is amazing. We're going to try it right now. This is Cooking with Marty. He have just brought this in.
In California, it should all be dehydrated tomatoes soon because we're out of water. So
Marty, this is delicious.
Good it, suggestion.
It's really crazy. It tastes like tomato. Did you try it, Kate?
I will try it after I have to use my voice in
yes
at length.
You don't want a popcorn kernel in your voice.
I don't want my set to just be...
Dried tomato really helps my voice.
It kind of tastes like a BLT without the B and the L. It tastes like the bread and tomato.
Except the B could be butter because it's sort of buttery.
It's amazing. I'm going to take a picture of this and tweet it out if I can figure out how to do it. Can you do it?
Yeah.
Our technical guy, Anthony, is going to do it.
Thank you, Anthony.
Yeah, because that's really tasty. Marty, that's a winner. Wow, I love that. I've never had it. Truth be told, I did not know he was going to put popcorn and tomato in the same dish.
How could you? How could you know?
I just thought that could go in the mishmash of everything that sure. everybody had said. But he do it. I love it. This I would eat again and again. Okay, so you're going to have to listen to me crunching throughout the show.
Did you hear me crunching when I was crunching?
I didn't hear it.
I couldn't hear my own crunch.
Can you hear now?
Yeah, I can hear that little Giselle crunch.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for our first segment. Are you ready?
Me? I won't be doing it.
I know. But I want to introduce you to Billy Wright. He is an actor and a writer. For many years, he was with Acme Comedy Theater doing sketch comedy in Los Angeles, California. He has written for such shows as The Simpsons and other shows. What other shows, Billy?
I've written three Simpsons. I've written some plays.
Can you hear him on the mic?
I've written three, co-written three Simpsons episodes, and I have written some plays.
Oh, yeah, his play, Christmas, the Christmas.
The Tex-mas, which was something I absolutely loved.
And I love that play, too.
I've written some pilots, and I wrote something that I sold an option for this year.
He sold an option! He sold an option! He sold an option! So that's pretty exciting. So he's a really funny guy and talented actor, and he have lots of characters in him.
Well, not in me. I won't be. It won't be me.
No, it won't be. No, we are inviting now his guest. What is your guest's
Jan.
Name?
Jan. She's from the TBS. She has the purple hair. People know her.
Oh, yes. Now, ladies
and gentlemen. Not TBS. It's the, Trinity Broadcast Network. There's also another TBS.
TBN.
Oh, yeah, TB.
TBN?
The one with the 700 it's Club?
That's but I don't TBN. Think that's on anymore.
Trinity Broadcasting Network.
It is. She doesn't really talk about it. She won't talk about it.
We take you now to the Trinity Broadcasting Network for this message from Jan. We have a little music to give us. We don't?
Oh. Emma, is it? Hello. I'm checking in on. Okay. Hello, everybody. I'm Jane, and I'd like to. I wanted to say, and I had talked to my friend Billy earlier. This at some point, I don't know the time, but about. What I wanted to say today, and that was just to talk about. Well, you know that every year we go all over the world to poor countries, setting up satellite ministries in countries like I don't know the names of the countries, but I know the countries very, very, very well. What are the names? What are the names of the countries? What are the names of the... I know the countries because my very, very good friend is there. I don't know his name. And every year, every single year, we bring little dolls to poor little girls all over the world. Dolls with tags that say Jesus loves you. In whatever language they speak, it says Jesus loves you in that language. And one time we were in this very poor country. I don't know the name. And we were giving out dolls to all the little yellow or brown or red or whatever color the little girls were in whatever country we were in. And what had happened is that we ran out of the dolls. We didn't have any more. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw this teeny tiny little girl. Just running just as fast as she could, and she came up to me and she says, "Doll, please, for me, does the beautiful, beautiful lady have a doll for me?" And I looked at her and pulled what seemed like dried oatmeal out of her hair. And I told her, I'm so sorry, honey, I don't have any more dolls. But I will bring you a doll. I will bring you a doll when I come back to wherever I am right now. And the man there, I don't know his name, said, the little girl asked all the time, when is the beautiful lady coming back? How many sleeps until she brings me a doll? The beautiful lady. The beautiful, 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 beautiful lady. What was I talking about?
Thank you very much, Jan. Yay!
Thank you, Jan.
Really quickly, some tweets. Michael Binhack from Germany say, good morning from your Heimatland. Hello, Michael Binhack. Very nice to hear from you. And also, Ginny Marie say, I love the idea of tomato popcorn. I make dill pickle popcorn myself. Mm. That sounds
I
delicious.
I have had that. It's very good.
Very good.
I love pickles.
So, Billy, Jen is your friend. Mm-hmm. But really, she's a creation of yours. I'm going to go ahead and tell people that. Because you're really an amazing character actor and sketch comedian, and all your writing so funny. I love that piece. Creativity and you?
Well said, Giselle.
I practice.
Do you want me to talk about Giselle about that? What I talked to you about on the phone, in a lighter way.
Whatever you want to talk about. Earlier, we had been talking about creativity and how it really helps us in our lives. And Kate, you jump in on this too. But yeah, talk about what you like.
Yes, Kate, you jump in too. Anytime.
I broke my promise. And I'm eating this popcorn. Delicious.
So oh, no, she's not.
It's really
off.
Good.
I just had something happen this year that was just really, like, incredible for me because, I mean, it started out as a really bad thing. I mean, I had a breakup at the end of December, and I'd been in this relationship for 8 years, and honestly, it just took the life out of me. It really did. It just knocked the air out of my bags.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, and then, like, I don't know, the whole year I kept trying to... Like, they were like, it's, you know, the best creativity can come out of the worst things. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, yes, the best thing's going to happen. But it wasn't happening. And, like, you know, I was writing and writing and writing, and it just wasn't happening. And then it got really bad. Like, and it wasn't even very long ago. It was, like, maybe, like, 2 months ago. I was, like, I felt like the absolute lowest that I've ever been in my whole life. Like, just really bad. And weirdly, and then I have a friend whose name is Cynthia Bond, and she wrote a book called Ruby that is Oprah Winfrey's pick, the first pick that she'd had in 2 years. And she had asked me to help her, like, give her some ideas about how to lighten up her script, to add some humor to it. So I was working with her, and she's such an inspiration to me. And then she told me about this book called The War of Art. I think that's right? I told you that book. And anyway,
The War of Art.
And I read that book at the same time as I was, there's this Writers Guild contest for diversity, so I would do it because of the gay thing. And I did it last year. I didn't win, but then I got this notice really late that they were having it again. And like 3 weeks to write a pilot is not very much time, but I was like, I'm going to do it anyway. And I hadn't written anything good this whole year, but I read that book, worked with Cynthia. Something just happened, and I wrote this piece in 3 weeks, and it changed everything for me. Like, it just all of a sudden opened up all the doors in my being, of made me be able to feel happiness again, really.
Oh.
And feel and creativity. I felt like this is the best thing that I had written in so long. Oh. And even if no one else thought it, and you know, some did and some didn't, but it was worth. I already won the contest because mm-hmm. it just really, and it was kind of amazing, and it hasn't gone away. I still feel so much better.
That's
you know?
Beautiful.
So that's my little story about
wow.
creativity.
So just from the act of being creative and this deadline of this competition forced you to quickly write a script and do something creative, and then that...
And basically that book sort of is like tells you that there's always this other force beating upon you that's saying, you're not good, mm-hmm. you're not funny, you don't know how to write, you're not good.
Sometimes that force comes from inside your own brain.
Of course it comes from inside your own brain.
It's coming from inside the house!
Yeah.
No, I think anybody, and it's not just create, I mean, it's any venture, it's mm-hmm. business, it's anything, there's always this other force that's like, you're not good. And the thing is, you just keep going. You just sit down or do whatever you're doing. If it's, you know, if it's, whatever it is, whether it's working, whatever creativity or creation you're making.
You keep doing
it. You keep doing it, and you don't, and you say F you to that other force. And you
just,
and you move through it. You sit there every day and like, well, whatever, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And then it actually, you know, if you just make your mind up to just stick with it, it actually... you know, can
one,
work.
Yeah, one step at a time, kind of. You just keep moving forward.
It's interesting. I had a similar year of events that caused me to go into that deep, dark well of what now.
And you're not going to say what they are.
And no, it would take too long. the least of it was that my cat died. I'll say like
that's
that was
not
the
least. Believe me, if anything happened to my
was
dog.
The least.
That was the least.
That's
of
a rough
it.
Time.
No, that would be really hard.
It was.
Yeah.
So... But I, you know, a lot of the what now was like, who am I creatively? And I went to see a speech that Jesse Thorne does. I don't know if you know who he is. He hosts another podcast called Bullseye.
I like that one.
But
Jesse Thorne, Bullseye podcast.
He does a lecture called Make Your Thing. And it's all about if you just dedicate yourself to the thing that fulfills you, whether that's being creative or building model trains, you know, that you will... win, you will succeed, you know, based on fulfilling what it is that you're passionate about and dedicating your time to it. And it sounds like that's,
you know,
similar...
a little addendum to that too, and you made me think of this, is that it, another thing that I kept doing was when I would try to write for television, mm-hmm. I would be so like, this is what they want.
Right.
Trying to please other people.
As opposed to, or thinking this will make me money, this will get me somewhere, this is what they will want.
Instead of it coming
Instead
from your own
Instead of me being
heart.
Like, this is what I love.
Yeah.
This is what I think
yes.
is funny. And it's, I did that
yes.
with this.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm just going to do what, I have to go back to my roots of like, what do I think is funny? Which I used to do with Jonna. And when we did sketch comedy.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah, we did a lot of stuff together.
We would just do what we thought was funny.
And it's really, yeah, I mean, then you did that.
Yeah, you did. I saw you guys.
I know.
I feel like that's a message that I've just been like having reiterated all year long of that exact thing. Because, you know, when I was in the deep well of what now, I listened to a lot of interviews with people I admire who all went through something like that at some point. And it's sort of reassuring when you hear like Pete Docter say, I thought I was going to have to quit Pixar because I was a fail. And you're like, you've never failed at anything. You know? And but like Chris Hardwick is somebody who I really admire. And he did the same thing. Like he had a career that was all about what do they want. And then when he was like, screw it, I'm just going to do what interests me. And it turned out that what interests him is something he built a whole empire on and now is like on every show on television. But I'm in the same boat of just spending the year really like, okay, what's my thing? Not what they want, but what makes me feel like I'm being me and being what
like
I was
fulfilling
to
your
be.
Own your own self, because for whatever originally made you want to do this in the first place, which is, you know, why you do it, really.
Right,
not to please other people, and really not to make money either.
No, it's certainly not to make money.
No, and whenever money becomes really the primary issue, or the primary goal, it's absolutely going to be bad, I think. Yeah. Unless it's a business you're starting, of course.
It corrupt the pure feeling that you had in you, the impulse for your creativity, is so easily corrupted when you start to bring, is this going to make me money? Are people going to like this?
But right. Even if you're making money at a thing that's not your thing, you're not going to feel good about that. Yeah. I mean, you'll feel, you know, more comfortable and less panicked all the time. But, you know, you're not going to feel inside good about, like, this is right, what I was meant to do. And that's why I'm making a ton of money at it.
I had a similar thing, Jonna here. I had a similar thing where, you know, I was like, oh, I'm for my acting and my writing, I'm not getting the audiences that I want. And a teacher of mine, Catherine Ingram, said, she said, it's perfectly fine to let yourself lie fallow. If you're not feeling naturally creative, rest.
Mm-hmm. I love fallow, that word.
Yeah, great word, fallow. Yeah, that's a good one. And then the other thing she said was just do your work for the people who appreciate your work, regardless of what size audience that is. I've played live for audiences of 6,000 and also down to one.
Yeah.
You know? And what I noticed when I thought about that was that the feeling of excitement that I get when I perform, it's actually exactly the same, whether it's one person or 6,000 people. I just love performing and I love writing things that make me laugh and sharing them with whoever wants to share them with me.
Right.
So once I got that idea, let go of the idea that it has to be for big audiences or it has to be, you know, all powerful and far reaching. Mm-hmm. No, just do the work I want to do and the people who like it will come for it or not. But but doing the work I like to do makes me
right, and the or not is important because the or not means that like you can't feel like failure if it like if nobody's on board, it doesn't matter.
That's right. That's right.
And just also just keep doing it.
Yeah, keep doing it because it make you laugh or you like it. Yeah.
Well, and it's very hard to get people to leave their homes in LA, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, you're doing this from your living room. So
because I don't even want to leave my house.
It's very difficult to get audiences for anything in LA. So you have to.
Yeah, you know, that's so.
Wait, you live in this place?
No. I do. This is kind of funny. I bet I could not get people to leave their house to come here to be audience, but I got you two to come here to be on the show.
Yeah.
That's what get you to leave your house.
It's true.
Anyway, that's good stuff about that. Any other final thoughts about that? I kind of cut us off awkwardly. What can we do?
Oh, Giselle.
You know. But yeah, creativity. I'm happy you're back, Billy. Oh my goodness. We're getting a Skype call. Hold on. Let me take. Okay. Hello, this is the Giselle Show Studio.
Hello.
Studio line.
Yes, I need to return this. Is this the Amazon?
Oh my goodness. It's another return call. I don't know how they're getting the studio line for this. What is you trying to return?
Oh, well, let me tell you. It's a ball, but it's a fitness ball, and it's not one you throw. You sit on it. And mine might be broken because I keep rolling off. And I'm getting bruised knees. That's what I'm getting. It should be called a bruising knee ball. I'd like to return it. I don't have a box to put it in.
Let me help you. You're making me laugh, lady. You're pretty funny, lady. What is your name?
My name is Margaret Ann.
Oh, hello, Margaret Ann. That's a nice name. This is the Giselle Show.
Yes. Hi. Miss Show, I need to return the ball. Yes, Giselle Ball Show. Hello.
I'm going to return it for you. You having trouble sitting on it? Does your feet reach the floor?
Yeah, until I lean on it, and then I fall off. It's round. It's like a ball, but it's big. It's like a big beach ball.
Yes, I know those. I used to have one, a sitting ball. You sit on it, it work your core muscles, right? And
I got this as a gift. I'm a December birthday person, so I got this for my birthday, December 1st. December Fool's Day, I call it.
Maybe I can help you learn how to sit on it and work your core.
Sit on it, Potsy. That's an old TV show, Happy Days. They used to say that all the time on there. Are you like that show, Happy Days?
I used to watch it. It's always nice when we have a happy day.
His Richie Cunningham used to be Opie Taylor on the Andy Griffith Show, and he was on this show too.
Oh.
And then there was a Jewish boy playing Fonzie, the Italian kid. Maybe, I don't, anyway.
All right, well, how much was the ball? How much you expecting a refund?
$21.93.
Yeah, okay, that's no problem. I'll take the ball back for you. You want to bring it by the studio? Where is you living?
Just outside the city.
Oh, okay, you want to come in? I'm just inside the city.
Well, can I take it on the bus?
You're going to need a pretty big sack. Do you have a big sack?
No.
Do you have a big basket?
Oh, I do, actually. I have a whole, on top of my kitchen, I have this above the cabinets. I have all different kinds of baskets.
Oh, you collect baskets.
They came with the house, but I like them.
Margaret Ann, you sound like a lovely lady.
Well, thank you. And what's your name again?
Giselle.
Giselle. Thank you very much for helping me, Giselle.
Okay, listen, you just call when you get off the bus.
I don't even know where I'm going.
Did you see my segment on Metro Stop of the Day?
No.
You should subscribe to the podcast because then you would see. Anyway, why don't you come to the bus stop at the corner of Monterey and Huntington?
Okay, I can get there.
Okay, call back when you're there.
Okay, great.
Okay,
talk
bye.
To you soon.
Bye
I've
for
got
now.
My ball. Okay, bye.
Oh my goodness. Oh, my She's a funny lady.
She's coming?
Yeah, well, I hope so. If she can find on the bus, she will come and we'll give her a refund for her ball.
Wow. Metro Stop of the Day, though.
That oh, yes. Did you see my segment on Metro Stop
I
of the Day?
I never miss it, Giselle. I always am interested in that.
Yes, because it turned out I wanted to just celebrate the unsung hero of the public transportation system, which is the bus stop. And not enough people really give the bus stop its due. We had fun. I was out there at the bus stop seeing all the things they have. They have shelter, trash cans, signage. It's really
added signage artists of the street.
Yes, graffiti.
Yeah.
And then there was two nice ladies there, and we had a chat and we sang some songs. Really, just with people on the bus on the bus stop. I said, "Hey, can we sing together?" The one lady. Anyway, it's on the website podcast.thegiselleshow.com, which bring us to all this information. You listening to the Giselle Show podcast with friends. Our Twitter is @thegiselleshow. You can email us studio@thegiselleshow.com. We're not doing Skype today. Michael Binhock, I know you tried to Skype in and I'm so sorry. We can't quite do it yet, but next time, yeah? We arrange for that. I would love to chat with you. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search for The Giselle Show Podcast and everything you can find at our website podcast.thegiselleshow.com. We will be right back.